Pastor Fisher is going to give a sermon today called Gifted to the Glory to Glorify God. And he will base that on the readings from the Old and the New Testament that I'm about to give you. We welcome you if you join us by cassette tape or CD if you're in our audience right now or joining us on the internet. If you have a sheet, keep it handy. Pastor Fisher will refer back to it as he goes through his sermon today. If you don't have a sheet, be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty, and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, that hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, the young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days I will pour out my spirit. I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For Mount Zion and Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the moment when the Lord shall call. Amen. Our second reading today be from the New Testament. The scripture reading is from the 1 Peter 4. This is verses 7 through 11. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And now with today's sermon, Gifted to Glorify God, is Straight Gate Ministries Teaching Bible's own pastor, Landis Fisher. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We give the Lord praise, and we thank Brother Russell for the reading of the word. Had just a couple of things that we wanted to do just before we do take up the word. I was going to ask St. Denise to stand and welcome the visitors that we have today. We have some visitors here, just to give a word of welcome to them. Amen.
Of Straight Gate Ministries, welcome you, a special welcome to the visitors. We believe that God has led you here to hear his word. Because of his love and grace and mercy, he wants you to know him and to grow and to be walking in a path or be guided in a path where you'll be in his will for your life continually. So I welcome you visitors, and I also welcome members, and I hope that you will come again.
Amen. Amen. We give the Lord praise, and we thank Sister Denise. Amen. We're going to go right on and dig into our lesson today. We have a very, very good topic today. I think we still have a little ring here, don't we? I'm going to get rid of that before we proceed. Amen. So we want to go ahead and get into our lesson. As you know, those of you who have been with us, you understand that we've been working our way through the epistle of 1 Peter. And so today we have arrived here at a very profound section. And you'll notice a slight couple of changes in the printed material. What I did was put the review in a different color. And the verses of emphasis are found in chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. And we're going to put a special emphasis on those, verses 7 to 9, or kind of a review to connect us back to last week and what we studied on last week. And so we're going to pick that up. You'll see the differences in the colors if you have, even if you're on the web, it's posted on the internet exactly as it is before you here today. And so we want to talk about this topic of gifted to glorify God. Now, there was a prophecy back in the days of Joel, the prophet from the Old Testament, where he prophesied the kind of things that would be going on in the church age. And it was not well understood in those days, the days of Joel's prophecy, because it was a time when Israel had been under the judgment of God. Now, the people of God often come up under his judgment because God has to do things in order to cause his people to tend toward holiness, because man left to himself, even if they're the chosen of God, have a tendency to stray off the path. And so God does allow adversity. He has a positive purpose in mind when he does allow it. And that is for the, basically to call the righteous to repentance and to bring them back to a state of proper fellowship with God, because we have a tendency to stray away. For example, Isaiah 53:6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. Everyone has turned aside to his own way. But the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all." So we have a tendency to stray from the things of God. And so God sometimes allows adversity to remind us that he is with us and that he is our source and our basically our stronghold. We should be trusting in him and not in the things that he provides. So many times it's easy for people to have a prosperous period in life and begin to trust in the prosperity that God has allowed them to have. And so God, for whatever reason, throughout the ages, and you'll see this throughout the scripture, all the way from the days of Moses, put on through up until the present, that God sometimes allows adversity for the purpose of calling people to repentance so that they realize that he is their source, he controls everything, the earth is his, the world and they who dwell therein. And so God is a righteous God, but he knows that in our spirit we are rebellious and we have a tendency to turn away from the truth. And so this was one of those periods that we see here that the apostle, the prophet, let me say, Joel is writing to the children of Israel concerning a time when they have just had a recent strike by locusts that have destroyed their fields and their crops, and they were going through some changes. But God delivers a prophecy which was true even of the New Testament church, and he speaks it here in the prophecy of Joel. So we wanted to take a look at that just for a minute here today. And also we want to look, see what does this prophecy mean and how does it have a bearing on the text that is discussed here by Peter. So Joel, back in the Old Covenant, says, "Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God." Now keep in mind, this is a time when all their crops have been destroyed and they're going through difficulty. So this is at the end of a difficult time. God calls the children of Israel to repentance. The children of Zion, they are called here. It says, "Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month." So God's saying that the drought and the famine that you've just been through, now who are the children of Zion who have an ear to hear from the Lord, realize that it was God who gave you the rain before it, and it's God who can restore the rain that will give you back the things that you had, even in times of trouble. Continue to trust God, is what this says to me and you. Even when we're going through a rough time, realize God is still with us. He's still on the throne. He still loves us. He's making a way for us. He will bring you through times of difficulty and trouble, and he's God no matter what happens on the earth. He is in control, and we can trust him. We need to learn to trust God in the good times as well as in the bad times. Sometimes it's easy to trust God in the good times, but sometimes the opposite thing happens. People begin to trust the good things that God provides, and they forget about the God who provided them. And so God reminds us. But he says here, "The floor shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with wine and oil. In other words, it'll be back to times of prosperity. You children of Zion, if you remember the Lord your God and rejoice in him, live in trouble. Now, you know, Jesus said that. He said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. There will be some trouble, but be of good cheer, he says. Rejoice in spite of the fact that there will be trouble, because I have overcome the world. Always look to the thing that Jesus has done for you and realize that he has overcome the world. So God's saying on here in verse 25, he tells the Israelites, and I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten. See that? And the canker worm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army, which I sent among you. So God says, I'm the one who sent that adversity among you to sift out the people who were not my people. And then God had given these people ample time to repent. He has sent the prophets, as the Bible says, it uses a phrase like this, rising up early and sending them. In other words, God sent them well before the people had fallen away into apostasy and idolatry away from God. He says, but the people would not hear, so it was necessary for God to strike them where they needed it in order for him to get their attention. But he says, I am capable and I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. See that? In other words, whatever it was that you had, kind of like think about Job. He had all those wonderful things, and yet his stuff was taken away. It was the hand of Satan that had stricken him, you see, and took away all that he had. And Job said, the Lord forgives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the Bible tells us that God restored to Job more than he had before, you see. So God returned to him even more than what he had lost during his time of affliction and his time of trouble. And so realize this. He goes on to say, I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten, and the canker worm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army, which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty, and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And so basically God says he can restore. Let's see, I think we have some other chairs. Brother Randall can get over there if he can see. They may be behind here, or may have to even look down in the side there. Okay. And he says, and ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream the dreams, and your young men shall see visions. See, so God says there's even more of an outpouring of the Spirit that is coming, yet to come in the future. And he prophesied of the time that Peter tells us in the New Testament this was the early church age. He says that it was that was spoken by the prophet Joel there in the book of Acts when Peter preached his first sermon. And he said there that this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And so then he goes on to say some other things. We'll give you some more information on that as we return to 1 Peter. But in Joel 2:30, he says, I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, and blood and fire and pillars of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant, he says, whom the Lord shall call. So there's a remnant of people who will be delivered here, he says. And so we see that the prophet Joel prophesied of the giftedness of the church that will come eventually when the fullness of time was come, after Jesus Christ had come and God had anointed his son. The term Christ means the anointed one, okay? And basically Jesus is the anointed one. And he's the only one that has the anointing of that sort, that he was anointed by God and given signs, wonders, and powers greater than any previous prophet or any previous a person that had come prior to his time. Jesus, of course, we know has the threefold office of prophet, priest, and king. But I wanted you to see the prophecy of Joel, which tells us about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit that are given to the church. And so basically, Paul mentions that also when he wrote to the church at Ephesus. He said, he mentions it. But let's deal with the Joel passage here. Peter puts it this way. When basically in the book of Acts chapter 2, There was the time when they had spoken in other tongues because of the outpouring of the Spirit. Acts 2 tells us that the day of Pentecost was fully come in verse number 1. And they were all in one place with one accord, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them divided tongues as of fire, and it set one sat upon each of them. See that? And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so he goes on to name a list of people who were Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven that had gathered there on the day of Pentecost. Now, the day of Pentecost was 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so when the people heard them speaking in other languages of all these particular people who had gathered there from Phrygian, Pamphylia, and Parthians, and Medes, and Elamites, and Mesopotamians, and Cappadocians, all these various people who spoke different languages, they were confused, saying, these people must be drunk, because they heard the sound that they made. But Peter, in verse 14, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you. Heed my words, he says, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. He says, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. See that? Verse 16 of Acts 2. And it shall come to pass in those days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And upon my men servants and upon my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And then he goes on to quote the balance of what we read in Joel. And in verse 19, I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and the vapor of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of that great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so Peter says that this was the initial sign of the church age, which is a period where God gifts those who believe in the coming of his son with spiritual gifts for the purpose of building and edifying the church, as well as the purpose of evangelizing the lost. And so we live in that period. You and I would say, according to the things that have taken place so far, probably close to the end